Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Killing the Killers by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard. So Sophie, when you heard the title, what did you think this book was going to be?
Hey there, Sam.
Honestly, I thought it might be a philosophical take on good versus evil, but it's the opposite. It's a fast-paced, action-packed narrative about the actual manhunts for the world's most wanted terrorists.
Right? It reads like a thriller. They focus on three guys, Osama bin Laden, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and Qasem Soleimani. And the core argument is pretty blunt. Some people are so committed to destruction that they have to be stopped by any means necessary.
And they're not framing these guys as soldiers or political actors. They're killers, pure and simple. The book really drives that home from the first chapter.
Yeah, and each one is a different kind of threat. Let's start with bin Laden. The book traces him from this wealthy, shy Saudi kid to the world's most wanted fugitive. Did you know his radicalization really took off during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan?
Yeah, and with American support, no less. The Mujahideen fought the Soviets, and bin Laden came out of that feeling empowered and hating the West. Then he builds Al-Qaeda, and we see the 1998 embassy bombings as this chilling dress rehearsal for 9/11.
The section on September 11th and the hunt after it is intense. They talk about Tora Bora, where bin Laden narrowly escaped, and that failure haunted the intelligence community for years.
The manhunt became an obsession. Intercepts, informants, tiny bits of intel. And then the SEAL raid on the Abbottabad compound in 2011. They reconstruct it with such cinematic detail, from the helicopter flight to the final moments in that dark bedroom.
It's a moment of catharsis, but the book makes a point that his death didn't end the war. It just changed its shape, and that's where al-Baghdadi comes in.
Right.
If bin Laden was a calculating strategist, al-Baghdadi was a brutal thug with a twisted theological vision. ISIS rose from the chaos of the Syrian civil war and the sectarian policies in Iraq.
And they declared a caliphate a physical territory. The book doesn't flinch from describing the horrors. Mass executions, enslavement of Yazidi women, beheadings, all broadcast on social media.
ISIS was a different kind of enemy because they wanted to control land and people. That made them a more conventional military target, but also a more insidious ideological threat.
The battle for Mosul is described like a modern-day Stalingrad. House-to-house fighting, snipers, suicide bombers. And then the raid on al-Baghdadi's compound in 2019, where he detonated a suicide vest in a tunnel, killing himself and two children.
But the tone is less triumphant there. The caliphate was destroyed, but the ideology wasn't. The seeds of future violence were already sown.
Then there's Soleimani, and this is the most controversial one. He wasn't a terrorist in the traditional sense. He was a state-sponsored military commander, the head of Iran's Quds Force.
But the book argues his methods and his body count put him in the same category. He built a network of proxies across the Middle East, and he was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American soldiers through IEDs.
Unlike the others, he operated with impunity, traveling openly. And then in January 2020, a drone strike at the Baghdad airport took him out. That was a huge escalation.
The book presents it as a necessary act of self-defense, but they also acknowledge the enormous risk. The world held its breath waiting for Iran's response.
What struck me is that beyond these three profiles, the book is really about the machinery of modern warfare. The intelligence gathering, drone operations, and the role of JSOC, that elite special ops unit.
And they don't shy away from the ethical dilemmas. Drones are effective, but they cause civilian casualties. Every strike has a human cost.
Yeah, and the book balances that with stories of heroism. The passengers on Flight 93, the CIA officers, the SEALs. It honors the people who serve and the families who've lost loved ones.
That human element is what keeps it from being a cold military analysis. It's about people, the killers, the hunters, and the innocent caught in between.
One theme that really stuck with me is that victory is elusive and temporary. Kill a leader, and another one pops up. Bin Laden's death led to the rise of ISIS. Al-Baghdadi's death didn't end the ideology.
And Soleimani's death didn't end Iran's influence or its nuclear ambitions. The war on terror isn't a conflict with a clear endpoint. It's a long, grinding struggle that will likely continue for generations.
And the book is critical of American foreign policy, too. They argue the 2003 Iraq invasion was a catastrophic distraction that gave rise to ISIS. They criticize both Republicans and Democrats for being too hesitant or relying on half measures.
The most effective strategy, they imply, is the one used against these three: relentless intelligence work combined with decisive, direct action.
The writing style is a big part of the book's power. O'Reilly and Duggard are masters of narrative nonfiction. It reads like a novel, but it's meticulously researched.
So, what's the takeaway for you, Sam?
For me, it's that the fight against terrorism is a permanent feature of the modern world. The names change, the methods evolve, but the war continues. The only question is how it's fought and at what cost.
And if you want to go deeper, the whole library is on 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, and it starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. The book leaves you with a deep appreciation for the people willing to pay that cost, and a profound sense of the fragility of the peace they fight to protect. We'll see you in the next one.